going. But I can't move my hands. I'm just doing this, looking at all the windows, and whatever's in the way is in the way. And we're just like, oh my God, what is going on? And it starts to rain, and it's just so, so heavy. And it's just like in the atmosphere. We're listening to some prophetic worship CD that was recorded, and I don't think anyone's ever heard it before. And you put it on, and all of a sudden it starts on the song. Someone hears him saying, the white eagles are arising. And we look up, and Heather starts, or Damien starts freaking out. He goes, look right there, look right there. And there's three doves that start circling the car right in front of us. Every time that part of the song came on, they showed up, and we couldn't find them any other time. And we were just like, oh, what is going on? And of course, this is like supposed to be the big week where, you know, it was prophesied years ago about something happening June 22nd to July 22nd. Well, here we are, June 22nd, going into this. And we're tired. We've been up. We fell asleep at 2 in the morning. And we end up waking up at like 5 in the morning. Actually, we were on the road at 5 in the morning that day. And we're driving all the way down another, you know, 800 miles down to Florida. We're beat tired, and we get there 45 minutes before service is supposed to start. But after that encounter in the car, we were just like, oh, we're going to go home. It was a beautiful place we were going to. We're going to stay up all night, go swimming, order pizza. We're going to do all this good stuff. And God goes, ha ha. I'm serious. We were in the car, and we were just like, what are we going to do? We're not just going to go home after an experience like this. We just start getting ready as fast as we can, and we leave out to the service. And still the fear of the Lord's inside of us. And we walk in, and then right when you walk in the door, there's just such an atmosphere of worship. And we were just touched just seeing 10,000 people there. There's almost 40-something nations represented there. People representing their flags and their colors. And the funny thing is, was you've got all this, obviously it's got to be broken up into sections because people have to be able to move and walk. But I didn't see one section that's called Catholic, and one section called Protestants, and one section called, you know, Baptist and Pentecostal. It was just go in and you sit down. God had a seat for everyone. And when you saw, when the music started, there was just such a worship there that people weren't looking at, oh, what are you over here? Is this the Baptist section or whatever? It was amazing. And just, you know what? God's moving, and we're going to worship Him the best that we know how. And it was just, I was just like, what is going on? And the atmosphere of just people crying out. And even after the music stopped, after the song stopped, and they're going to switch, people are still just singing and crying out. It just created such an amazing experience. I mean, even the music stopped, and all of a sudden people just start saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when one person starts, it just goes throughout the whole entire place. And people are stomping their feet, and you can feel the ground shaking, and you can hear it. It's almost like thunder. Because now everyone's just squished up front, and you just got this voice that's arising. And I'm just like, oh my God, Lord, what is going to happen? Of course, I'm just reminded in the book of Acts, when they're in the upper room, they're all in one accord. And I'm just like, what is going to happen in this place? And it's just absolutely amazing. This for me was a life-changing experience this weekend, because I'm not going to be the same. And it's not just me saying it. So many times we're like, we're not going to be the same, we're changed and stuff like that. But it was this weekend God told me, you'll never be the same now. And I was like, okay. See, when I left, I was discouraged. God's been working on my heart for quite a number of years now. And I'm thinking, here I am going to this experience. Before we went to Florida, we go to North Carolina for a conference. And I'm just like, yes, God, it's going to be an amazing experience. Everyone's excited. But finally, the time has come. room, and this is where God's going to meet with us. And so many times we expect God to meet us in such a glorious way, and sometimes it's going to deal with your heart. And I'm just like, so many times you're like, yes, Lord, do what you got to do, and then you're in the midst of it, you're like, crap, what did I say? I'm like, because all of a sudden you're with, you know, 30 of your friends, and they're excited, and God is ministering to each and one of them, but God's not ministering to me.
Amen.
I wrote that in my journal, in parentheses. And what he was really doing, he was creating a hunger in me. Because I believe that this was a trip that God just accelerated and finally put an end to everything that he's been working on. See, God's always going to bring you full circle to the same thing that he's been dealing with to say, are you really over it? Are you really over it? Can you really give it all to me? And I'm just like, all right, so here I am. I'm going down to North Carolina. And halfway down, I don't know what state we're in, my heart just changed. And I'm just like, Maybe I should stay home. You know, all of a sudden, I don't know why it's coming in. I'm like, I just kind of want to go home. I don't want to be on this trip now. I'm just like, you know, I could have stayed home and God could have met with me there. And I'm just like, I'm seeing the passion of everyone around us. And I'm like, hey, how come I don't think like they do? And I'm in the service and everyone's jumping and leaping. And I'm like, I can jump, I can leap too. And I'm just like, I'm just tired at the end of it. And I'm like, these people are touched, and these people are going for hours. And at the end, I just find, I'm just physically exhausted. I'm just looking for a water. And God's just, he's burdening my heart with all these things. Like, God's been dealing with forgiveness in my heart to forgive people. But now, he was showing up the same people, and not to forgive the people, but to forgive the words that were spoken over me, to forgive their actions. And I'm just like, can you? He's like, now, can you forgive them for that? And I'm just like, can I? And I'm like, I don't want to. It sucks. But you know what? I made a declaration that at the beginning of the trip, before I started feeling those feelings, God, whatever it is you have in store for me on this day, in these next few days, Lord, I don't want to be the same. I'm going to give it all to you, no matter how easy, no matter how hard. And you have to make that. It has to be out loud with your voice. And I'm just like, all right, God, I'm going to choose to forgive. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do it. And God's just burdened me with all these things. And this is all through North Carolina. I'm like, Lord, why aren't you ministering to me? And I'm like, everyone around me is being touched. And I'm just like, I didn't understand it until I wrote it down and I looked back on the experience 2 days later. That what God was doing, he was creating a hunger with me. And we jump ahead. The North Carolina trip finished. And God... Now I can see God moving, but it's like he's not going to be moving in me. I'm like, all right, looks like I got to grab this thing by faith. Maybe that's what everyone else is doing, you know? Maybe I just got to say, you know what, God, you are doing something, and you are instilling something in me, and I don't know what it is, and I'm just going to bring it back in faith. It's fine. So here I am in Florida, and I'm like, you've got all this loud music, you got to figure 10,000 people in one tent. That's not going to be acoustically correct. That means everything needs to be loud to be heard in the whole entire tent. So you got to think that it's pretty loud. And when you got 10,000 people around you screaming and you're in the middle of it, you're shaking. And I'm like, there's just got to be more. There's got to be more to all the noise around me. There's got to be more to all the excitement and the hype. I'm like, because God's not always going to minister through the fire and through the earthquake. Sometimes you just got to seek God in that still small voice despite everything that's going around you. It's pretty difficult, but it can happen. And I'm in one of the morning services. I don't know if you've seen those. They're not in the tent. They're at a big church called Ignited Church. And the same thing. It's a really loud room. It's jam-packed full of people. It's a lot smaller than the tent. And I'm like... All right, Lord, so what do you want me to do? God's just like, put on the full armor of God. Okay? I can do that. And so I just start praying, and I'm getting dressed in the Spirit. And I'm like, immediately, they're just like on a praise song, like trading my sorrows or something. But God's like, we're going to move into a time of warfare. Before the music started, before it even happened, I'm just like, all right, so now I'm fully dressed. And I'm like, well, now what do you want to show me? Everyone's packed in front. The church is really long. And I see like a little cartoonish devil that you see on TV, you know, a little anorexic 3-foot little red guy. And he's jumping from one corner to the room over the group that's gathered on the front to the other end. And he's just leaping with one leap going from corner to corner. But every time that he leaps over someone, he's turning his body and he's scratching at their hearts. And I'm just like, what do I do? Can I go tackle the little guy? Or I'm jumping ahead to keep in line with the story of what I'm saying. But I'm freaked out at what God's doing because it's real. And I'm just like, oh my God, like I'm really seeing this and what's going to happen? And the discernment that I had from that was that every time that he was scratching at hearts, he was opening up the closed wounds. And he was putting them back in the mindset, you know what, no, you're not forgiven. No, you haven't let go of this thing. No, 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 it's not done. And I was just like, okay, so what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden I hear warrior angels, and I'm like, I don't really know what a warrior angel is, but it definitely sounded cool. So I'm like, alright, so can I pray for a warrior angel? And sure enough, along the long altar, they show up, and they're really tall, and they're bright white. They're not white, they're light and gold. It's not a white color, it was light, L-I-G-H-T, and gold. And they were shoulder to shoulder, and they lined up perfectly across the front, and now we're moving into a time of warfare, and I'm like, okay, now this is freaking me out. And I start praying, I'm being honest with you, when this stuff starts to happen, and you get the word, and it comes to pass, you're freaked out. And they start lining up, and God looks at me and goes, so how high do you think they can raise their hands? I don't know, you're God, you tell me. And sure enough, basically what he was telling me, step out of faith and tell him to move. So I go, raise your hand. Sure enough, instead of raising his hand, he draws a sword from his side. And when he did, I seen the roof of the building move. And I seen just the clouds part, and it went all the way up, and I couldn't see the end. And I'm just like, it's pretty cool. And then God asked me another question. Well, how high can your hands go? Probably up to about right here. And I stretch forth my hands. You know, I'm being comical in my head, because I'm like, God, this is just too much for me right now. I'm like, this is way too much for me. And sure enough, I raised my hands, and I got them up to here. And when I closed my eyes, I literally felt my hands go straight back, and my head pushed forward. And right from my shoulder, right here, just lifted straight up. And my hands went as high as a sword. And I was just like, okay, now you can't open your eyes. Now you're just frozen in the space. And I start doing this, almost like a twisting and breaking thing. And I didn't know what I was breaking. I was just like, all right, so I'm breaking something. And the vision stopped. I don't know whatever happened to the angels. I don't know if they stay in there. I don't know whatever happened to the little devil. I don't know what happened. That was it. Everything had stopped when I got that revelation. We sat down, they gave a rich word that night, and then they went back into a prime time of prayer and worship. And during this time of worship, the message is just pretty much giving your the whole, in North Carolina down to Florida, down to what Pastor Kid's been trying to teach us for years, and I finally understand it now, is, how can I say it, God? You've got the Jesus Christ is in you. You have the same authority, the same power as all these people that you see, people like Todd Bentley that are doing miracles. We are called to be the sign and the wonder. And I'm just like, wow, I have that same authority. Meanwhile, back in North Carolina, God met with us in the room, just the guys. Where I just asked him a question. I'm like, look, did I miss God in this situation? Because it was really bothering me. And I'm like, did I miss God? And it's just that question developed to another question, to us talking, and all of a sudden we're 3 hours into this conversation at 2 a.m, where we fall face first on the ground in prayer. And I start speaking, you know what? I don't want to be moved by the things around me, by the situation, by the place that I'm in. I want to be able to stand firmly on God and know who He is, that He's able to meet the need no matter what. And that's what I spoke with my mouth, and that's kind of been my prayer this whole time. And I'm in, now we'll go back to Florida, and I'm just in worship, and I just feel this heaviness. And I just start to go down, and I'm just like, finally, I'm going down on my face. And I just crawl, like, pretty much, there's this much space between the seats right now. And you try to fall on your on your knees and face right there. It's a tight place. And these chairs are locked together. Nothing's moving. And I'm just like, face first on the ground. And the same way I'm talking to you right now, I feel like I was just talking to the devil, and I'm like, that's it, enough's enough. I'm like, you gotta get your hands off. And the devil goes, what do you mean? And I'm just like, what do you mean, what do I mean? I've given my life to Christ, and that's it. And at that moment, when I started declaring, I understood that Adam is dead, and we can't take time to try to fix and make smell good, and we can't try to make him look pretty. He's dead, and it's gone, and that's it. And Jesus Christ is in, and that's the only thing that we can lean on now. And I just opened up my mouth, and here I am, out loud, on the floor, screaming, while the music is going, and people around me are praying, and I'm like, and I stood there for like 10 minutes, and God just began to reveal to me everything in my heart that he's been working on. Everything that I thought was a lie, that was really just correction, and then the devil turned it around. Every word, every action spoken against me, everything that I've had to go through, even though the devil has pulled me back, God turned it around. He's like, this is going to be your testimony. And because I put you through these things, this is what you're going to speak, and this is what's going to bring people back to me. And I was just like, wow. And I looked at the devil, and I was like, that's it? I looked at him literally the same way I'm talking right now. He was responding. He's like, what do you mean? I don't understand. I was like, you'll never understand. I'm God. And that's it. And I was just like, so intense that it was too real. The voices were real. What I was declaring was real. And I believe at that moment it was broken. And I'm just like, wow. I really realize that it's because of a hunger that needs to happen inside of you. See, if there was a baby in the middle of a crowd right now, let's say the president was speaking, or I was speaking, or pastor was speaking, or it was whatever kind of service, if that baby was hungry, he'd start to cry. He'd cry out, and it wouldn't matter who's around him, because he knows that his need for survival is to cry out and let someone know that I'm hungry. Sometimes you just need to press on beyond all the noise and beyond all the good things. We can't say, Lord, look at what I've made of this and all this. And just say, Lord, I'm hungry. I'm desperate for you. Just begin to cry out from the bottoms of my heart. And stop telling him what we can put on display. And stop telling him all the good things we can do. And say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you to come down. I need you to intervene in my life right now. And that's what moves God, to come down and move some of compassion and meet you right where you're at. That hunger needs to happen. And here I am just saying, God, why are you ministering to everyone around me but me? And he had to build up the hunger in me first. And I'm just like, it was so funny reading that last night, because I'm like, how amazing is that? That he's always going to be there, even when you don't feel like it. And I just feel right now, God's going to come down and he's going to meet us in a way that you've never expected. And it was so funny because on the way down there, we're praying, and we've been to Florida, and everyone is sleeping. There's 5 of us in the car. And Heather blasts the CD, and she's going and going and going and going. And I'm like, is she ever going to shut up? I'm like, because I would have fallen asleep in the passenger seat. But then it just created a stirring. I'm like, all right, well, if she's not going to stop, then I'm going to join her. God said to me, you haven't begun to worship me because you haven't scratched the surface as to who I really am. And I'm just like, whoa. Little did I know what's to come ahead. And I'm just like, I spoke those words to her. It took me a while to really understand them because I was more in shock at the intensity of the words. But you haven't come to worship God because you haven't scratched the surface as to who he really is, because he hasn't revealed it. And I'm like, I was reading last night a Bible verse about how the heavens can't even contain God. So that means heaven is for us, and God is above that. And I'm just like, that's how big you are, God. And of course I can say that, but I have no understanding as to what I'm saying. I'm just like, wow. Thank you. going into these services down there, we're expecting something. We're expecting, what I said, I'm expecting nothing, but expecting everything. I'm not going to limit God to move in one way or in another way, but I'm also going to be expecting that He's going to be able to move in my life, and He's going to flow, and He's going to do amazing things. Of course, it didn't come to the last, to the second to the last day that God really hit me. But it was so amazing. One of the experiences was, you go up to a fishbowl and you put your finger on it, and you move your finger, and the fish starts to follow your finger. Well, here I am in worship, and I'm in the middle of it, and I'm just swaying back and forth, like, to extremes. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I realized that I really couldn't control it after a time. God was just saying that I'm moving my finger, and I'm like the little fish, and I'm just following wherever He's going. And I'm just like, what an amazing experience. And it just, I'm like, wow, here I am. I'm just expecting God to minister to everyone else, and I'm going to grab this thing by faith that God is working, and I'm going to have to bring it back home, and I'm not going to have that life-changing experience. And God brought me to a point, and I believe that He did do that. But because of my humbleness and because of putting my hunger on display of, Lord, you know what, this is good enough, but I haven't fallen over in Your presence yet. I have not felt Your presence so strong that I don't know what to do. That there's got to be more. When I reach a point that, you know, He was going to show His face to Moses, and Moses was glowing at this time, I'm like, I'm not glowing. And I'm like, when God came by, that He wasn't going to be able to see Him. He was only going to be able to see His hindsight. I'm like, you know what, when that happens, then we'll start to talk. But until that, that's what I'm reaching for, and that's what my hunger is, and that's what my heart's cry is. And I was just like, how amazing is that? To try to really just understand and meet God and everything that He has in store for you. Comfort zones. So disconnect yourself from everyone around you right now. And just begin to put your hunger on display for God and cry out to Him in a way you have, and allow Him to come down and meet you right here the way you are. Where it's just you, not God. It's just you and me, oh God. Just begin to lift up your voice and cry out. So many times you look to God and say, Lord, what do I do? And God just says, why don't you just do something and let me show you what you're going to do. Move through past the fear to create an atmosphere here for God to come and dwell. Move through the opinions of man and through the opinions of your mind and the thought patterns that you have to say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for you, and I can't keep going the same way. I don't want to be stagnant. I want to be able to, you to pour out through me that I may be able to pour out through others. So, see, there was a tangible experience down there, and I believe that God's going to start to begin to open for that right over here in New England. That even as you enter the city, as you enter the region of New England, that people are going to be like, wow, something's different. They're going to be able to look at the clouds and be like, wow, those clouds look good. They look different. There's something about them, and not understand that in the spiritual realm, God is going to start to invade the earth, and God is going to start to begin to outpour here in the New England region. And we need to just begin to be able to be hungry, because that's what He's going to, that's what He's going to cry out. Lord, we thank You that what You've done in our lives,
thus far is so excellent and so great, Lord, but we cry out for more of you because we haven't begun to scratch the surface as to who you are. So, Lord, we thank you for that whole other level of an outpouring right now. In our hearts, oh God, is where it needs to start. Oh, I thank you for a change of heart right now, oh God. I thank you for a changed heart, oh God. Lord, that we will not be moved by the opinions of man. We will not be moved by the things around us. Lord, it doesn't matter who's to our left and who's to our right. Lord, it don't matter if people are going to think that we're weird, Lord. We're so hungry for you. We need a touch from you, oh God. And we will not stop. We will not stop until you start to reveal yourself to us in a tangible way, Lord, that we don't want a closed vision, Lord. We want open visions, oh God. We want panoramic visions, oh God.
Amen.
So we can see you in a real way.
Yes, Lord.
Someone might walk through the hall and peek their head in and say, what are they doing? Press through beyond the fear. We need to search out God in a new way. See, I believe that we can create an atmosphere right now in this place where God's just going to come. And that right now, He's going to touch us in a way that we'll never be the same. Open up your voice. Nothing's gonna hold me back.
Thank you.
Lord, I am dying for you. Is it this true? Dying for you is mine.
Thank you.
Jesus, you glory.
Jesus, 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 Jes
your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. what I love to play the strings of your heart. Won't you play the strings of mine? Lord, I long to play the strings of your heart. Won't you come play the strings of my heart? To play the streams of love. Won't you play the streams of thinking, what are you feeling? I got to know. Lord, here I am, your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I got to know. I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you. And I'm I'm out to be your heart. I'm out to be your heart. Here I am, your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I have to know. And oh, here I am, your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I have to know. I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you. Cause Lord, I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you. Here I am, your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I have to know. Here I am, your favorite one. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I have to know. Cause I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you. And I'm after your heart. I'm after your heart. I'm after you.
there was the halo of light around Andy's head. So I don't know if he's special today or something, but changed. I like that. Also, I want to give you a request for prayer. How many remember our friend Jay McMahon, the attorney that came to minister to us? We got an email from him. He lost his 29-year-old son. And I will read it to you so that it'll go out on the air. So those of you who listen, please join us in prayer and intercession for this man of God. He says, "Hello, friends. It is with a sad and heavy heart that I report to you the passing of my oldest child, my son Joel P. McMahon, in Florida yesterday, one day short of his 29th birthday. Joel is the older child of my first marriage. His death was ultimately tragic and unfortunate. Joel leaves behind two very young children, Ryan and Naomi. Joel served in the U.S. Army, etc. Joel has had a deep, loving relationship with Jay's dad, his grandfather, Jimmy McMahon, and never quite completely overcame his grandfather's loss. His grandfather went home to be with the Lord in 2005. As his father, I love Joel deeply and will miss him dearly, and I visited with him in Florida just 2 months ago in April, and we went out and played golf together, just as he and I. We had a great time, and the whole golf course just to ourselves, his mother, Kathy McMahon, and his sister, Rachel, are grieving their loss, as one would expect, etc. So I ask that you would hold him in your heart, hold his family in your heart, along with Vanessa, and she will be, or I should say her remains will be, laid to rest tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock on Route 9 and Ware. And the funeral service was yesterday. It's been a challenge. Very, very difficult, but the Holy Spirit has definitely used many in intercession to keep us going. And asking you to continue again to hold the purpose of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord, as the ultimate motive of your intercession. Our God is such a marvelous Father, and we just don't understand sometimes what He will allow, and it's not understood. But I want to take you to Daniel chapter 9 today. And without an open heart, this will just be a word that won't change anybody. So I'm asking Father God to open our hearts, open our understanding, that we will comprehend what the Spirit of God is really saying. And as I was driving in this morning, I was reminded of press in my spirit 30 years ago, and over 30 years, where I would sit in my living room with my youngest son. And we would discuss the Word of God and go into trying to understand Daniel. For some odd reason, Daniel was such a gift to me. And he relates to our time because of some of the things that God showed him. But I want to take you to the verse at the beginning. It says, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scripture, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet." So we know he's reading and studying the book of Jeremiah. And he's calling him a prophet, yet he doesn't probably have the fullness of the next prophet, which is Christ Jesus coming down the highway of life. And that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and a petition in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his command, we have sinned and done wrong. Notice it's we have sinned and done wrong. Yet he's not guilty because he's not part of that previous generation, is he? And sometimes we don't comprehend the awesomeness of those who came before us and their testings, the challenge of their life, and the immensity of our understanding of the scriptures compared to what they had. When I was in Canada the last time, when I visited with my older brother, he's 20 years older than me, because of a conversation with my mom, the one that brought me up, I was pressed to ask my oldest brother that's living. He's not the oldest of my brothers, but he's the oldest that's living. He's 88. And I said to him, we had a discussion. And in our discussion, we want to know if you have any accurate information about my biological mom and dad. And I kind of knew, but you know, you always hear from those who just give you a shot in the dark about something until it's really cemented home from somebody who's watched and lived with my biological dad. It's just maybe hearsay or secondhand information. And I said, if I understood correctly from the traditions that I've heard, because I wasn't brought up in that house, what was my father's capacity in an ability to read and write? He said, your dad was not able to read or write, or even write numbers. But he had such an accurate ability to carry all this information in his mind that he ran a full business, an incredible farm, and raised 20 kids, yet could not read or write, not even for his own ability. So I obviously hit the next level, and I said, well, what about our mother? What was her ability? And he said, well, she could write a letter to herself and read it, but she could not read or write. And I thought, oh my God. So they depended on those that had education. So there was an attorney and there was a local priest who would be their guiding ability. In the godly aspect, they would go to the priest. In the political realm, they would go to the attorney. And I remember meeting that attorney. I was 19 years old and I was to be married, and there was a legal paperwork that needed to be done. And since they were my biological parents, the Roman Catholic Church would not let me get married unless they signed the dotted line, because I wasn't 21. I was not officially old enough to speak for myself as far as the church was concerned. So I had to make a trip to Canada 3 weeks before I was to be married. And if you think for one moment that I was happy about going up there to face these people that gave me away three times, I was not in a good mood. I was pretty self-righteous, had an attitude, but survived the test. What am I saying to you this? Because I want you to see that these people made mistakes. My spiritual teachers and preachers made mistakes. But you know what? I honor them. Because I don't know how well I would have done to bring up 20 kids and not be able to read or write. So much for my judgment calls, huh? my critical voice of 19 and 20 and 30 and 40, because it kept on going. Until the Holy Spirit started to say, they can't know what they have never learned. I want to honor my pastor, Gino. Because you know what? He gave me so much. And yet, did he have disabilities? Absolutely, he had disabilities. But I can tell you this. He was a man of God for his day. And I honor him this day for the things that he did for this region. Because if it wasn't for him, there are other little churches that have grown because of his obedience. Many Christians came to the Lord Jesus Christ, some of whom are here today, and a knowledge of his grace and his mercy and his healing ability, because this man of God obeyed and was crucified for obedience. Come on, you need to hear an amen. How many of you and I, in our background, got crucified for what they did right? Okay? Does that mean that we judge and condemn them? Absolutely not. This church is a byproduct of his prayer. This church is capable of giving out because we were taught how to give. Your fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers did the best that they possibly could. But you understand. He said, verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from our commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Does he leave anybody out? Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, and all of Israel, both near and afar, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. Our should have a circle around it. Our, because they're taking on the guilt of those who failed. Without any hesitation, my family tree is filled with people with failures. And I'm filled with failures. So if I take on their weaknesses and advertise their weakness, what's going to happen when I cry out for the blood of the Lamb? They're going to get healed, I'm going to get healed, and God will get his way with me and with my, what? My generation and the ones to come. Because you see, the benefits of Daniel's prayer did not just set free the city of that day, but it allowed the city to be rebuilt. Do I get a little tiny amen? Thank you. Lord, we and our kings and our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All of Israel has transgressed your laws and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curse and the sworn judgment written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heavens, nothing has ever been done like what has been done in Jerusalem. Verse 13, just as it is written in the law of Moses, all of this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God. By turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. I want to stress this particular verse. We have not sought your favor. By turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. 15. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and all who made for yourselves a name that endures for all for this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong, etc. Now, you know, he's aware of the failure, yet he doesn't focus on the failure. He confesses the sin and doesn't focus on the sin, because if you do, what happens to you? Will the favor come while you're just focused on your mess? You have to focus on the solution. And the solution is the Revelator, to give you a big, great picture of who you are. I was blessed when you shared about the reality that you realized Christ Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Christ Jesus operating in us, the hope of a future without Adam controlling the next level of our intercession. You see, I can remember a season of intercession in my life, all concentrating on my sin. What an ugly vision. Always going back about my sin this and my sin that. And the Lord told me that he wanted to remind me that St. Paul didn't write to any church of sinners. He called himself a sinner. But he also wrote to every church and called them what? Saints. So what's the difference between the two? One is a focus on every failure, and the other is a focus on who you will become. And when you see Christ Jesus operating through you, and you see his ability to transform you, then you'll say, oh my God, there's hope for me. And his ability to transform where you've lived to where you will live. When you live with a mental attitude of a saint under construction, you get this new vision of yourself and a hope of a tomorrow of freedom. If there's only a hope of another day of accusations about how ugly you've been and how sinful you've been, you're going to be so depressed that there's no hope. And the hope deferred brings what? Death. Depression. How many have ever had a taste of depression? It's ugly. Verse 17. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant for your sake, not for his sake, not for Daniel's sake, for whose sake? O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Did you hear the word favor again? Give ear, O God, and hear. Open our eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. Whose eyes need to be opened? Our eyes. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Hear and act for your sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking, say, while you're speaking, God's angels may show up. It's going to be up to you to do what? Speak. Oh, I can remember a season that I didn't dare open my mouth to God. Oh, my God, I'm not worthy. Oh, my God, I'm not worthy. Oh, my God, I'm not worthy. Unless you speak, unless you, it's always him that had to do and me mumble. Anybody ever relate to that mumble jumble? Don't do it. Speak what God says about you. Speak about your future. Speak about the sins that you've committed and your ancestors have committed, and confess it openly, and then go on from there. Walk on. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, and the sins of my people Israel, and the sins of my people Israel, and the sins of my people Israel. Did you get the clue? And making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel shows up, the man. So what does Gabriel look like? A man. I had seen in the earlier vision, so he came twice. Came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice, and he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. So what the angels do? They bring you what? Insight and wow. Are you ready for insight and understanding? Are you going to need angelic assistance? If you don't ask, you don't. Thank you. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77 are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression and to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal the vision. I'm sorry, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. Who's he speaking about? He's speaking about Jesus. There will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. So he's prophesying that Jesus is going to be what? Amen. And we'll have nothing. The people of the rulers of who will rule, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So he's talking about the Romans. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolation have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offerings, and on a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Is it important to understand all those details? If you are nosy enough, you're going to ask for revelation. You're going to ask for understanding. You're going to ask for the Lord to bring clarity, and he will. And I don't want to concentrate on that because that's not where I believe God wants us to concentrate for today. I believe he wants to take you to chapter 12. So come with me. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, well, it's your name in the book, will be delivered. So what's your obvious fruit? Freedom. You're going to be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Ha-ha! Are you ready for the resurrection? You think you are? There's a funeral plan tomorrow to bury a body. And that's what God has told me that I'm to talk about. I'm to talk about the future resurrection tomorrow. I'm to talk to them about a hope of restoration of a young lady. It happened to be totally destroyed by electrical current. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise. I love this part. Say, I'm going to be wise, Lord. because I want to shine like the brightness of the heavens. Because that's what verse 3 says. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever, not part-time. But you, Daniel, close up the seal, the word of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. If I can get you hungry, if God can do what he did with this guy on the floor right now and create a hunger such as he has in Andy, then you and I are going to see some changes in the house of prayer. Any instructions, sir?
Yes.
Go.
Instructions, yes. Clarity.
Okay.
Even better, so sometimes you gotta do something and better tell you what you did.
Yep.
Prayer's going to be important for honoring those, honoring my parents, and also include the spiritual parents. And it also includes our pastor. And it's just a new concept to me because I never thought about it, never read across the Bible. God's never really put it on my heart. I've never seen it done. And I was like, how do you think I'm going to give honor to my parents? So I didn't want to go back and see them either. I'm like, but then I realized also in this weekend that what I said earlier was, everything that I thought was a lie, everything that was spoken, and all the actions in my life, there wasn't a mistake with God. Every Amen. Word that was spoken was for a reason. Every negative seed that was planted into my heart was for a reason, because now is the time that God's going to take that and use it as my ministry and my testimony. So it's almost happy, and someone said, pray, if you have a big storm in your life, praise God that you're not praying for a hangman, because it's so true, but when you go through this, you come to a level of understanding that God has a greater calling in life, and that there's something more than what you think is there. The clarity's not there yet. But, I mean, we went to Connecticut to a Gateway service, we went to North Carolina, we went to Florida. All the way down, the same message is people are honoring their spiritual fathers and mothers. Even if the crazy part was, I heard a youth pastor and he was talking about how a mistake that he made, and he thought, he thought his youth leaders were drinking out at a camp after he had paid for them to go. And it just so happens that they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. He just went and he blew up and he lost his mind on the kids. And how could you? I paid for you to come out here and this is how you thank me. And went off and off and off. And they came back. Someone told them that they weren't involved. So he goes, he thought it was a great youth pastor. You know, he's telling all these great stories of everything he's done. And he remembered that years ago when he was young, he went to the same one. He got his trip paid for. And they go to him and they go, that his youth pastor actually did the same exact thing to him and said, you were drinking, you were drinking, you were drinking, and you're drunk, your eyes are bloodshot, and all this. They were just having so much fun that throughout the week of youth camp that they never fell asleep because they were always pranking each other. And the guy goes, there's only so many ways that you can say, I wasn't drinking. And the guy just ripped them apart and shred them apart. He goes, and I still have to honor that. And he's like, I found myself in that position that even though God is using me, I can still mess up. And I was just like, oh. And then something that they spoke down in Florida at one of the churches was, even though God is working on you, still working through you. And we really just need to take that time to honor those in our lives, even if they have made the wrong decision, even if they have said certain things, but there's still no mistake with God.
He's still going to use that for His glory. So I know that I've never seen it until today, and to be perfectly honest, I still feel that I don't even understand it completely. And it really caused the hunger for me to look into this, but I've done it with my parents, not face to face yet, but in my heart I have. And the same thing, I mentioned it on the phone to you, but we really do need to extend our hands towards Kim and really thank Him, because so many times, even though we think we understand the struggles, and we get a taste and a little bit, we never fully see the nights that He's up crying out for us, for the church, and for the situation in His life, because the calling is so great, that means the trials need to be great. And we can't always get it right the first time. Praise God that we can always get it right. God's going to give us another chance. And so I thank You for the decisions You've made in your life. And I love You for that. Because this is now the results of everything that You planted. And now we've got another one up north. Okay.
Amen. And Abram. Say, Lord Jesus, You have done a work today. Don't stop. Keep me running towards You until I see You face to face. Let Your ministering angels come and visit. I want them to minister to me. I don't want to be what I was yesterday or last month or last year. I want to be everything You've called me to be. In Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah. Share some hugs with each other.